Our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning acknowledging your right to rule us as a father. And we ask this morning that you'll teach us the benefits of obedience. That not only we'll profit from them, but that others might as well. Father, our real prayer is that just even one person from this group is going to make an impact on this country in years to come. For thy name's sake. Amen. Well, we've looked at being afraid, and we've talked about don't be afraid. We've talked about don't be afraid to begin. Don't be afraid to go in. And this morning I want to talk to you about don't be afraid to obey. Never be afraid to obey. If you turn to Joshua chapter 1, you'll remember that for 40 years this group of Christians, well, we can't call them Christians in the theological sense because they were in the Old Testament time, but they were of the household of faith, equal to your Christian of today. But they just wouldn't do what they were told. And so for 40 years, they wandered around in a sort of desert of an experience. They couldn't go back. They wouldn't go forward, and they were stuck in a rut of absolute failure. And that was pathetic, really, because if you look at the very first chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, you'll find there in the second verse that there are 11 days' journey on foot from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. There's just 11 days walking journey from this side of the Red Sea, where they came out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, to the very border of entering the tremendous land of promise and all the adventure God wanted them to enjoy as his faithful children. 11 days walking journey. You know how long it took them to do it? 40 years. You know, you can do it in a hiccup today by in a helicopter. That's a fact. A jump jet would just have to go, and you'd be there. And it took 603,550 people 40 years. Now, don't be shocked by that. A lot of you Christians will waste 40 years. Yeah? You'll never amount to a hill of beans. You'll never earn your spurs as Christian. You'll never get anywhere. That's why some of you might even be afraid to listen this morning. Because you know it. And it all boils down to one teensy weensy little thing. Obedience. But after those 40 years, the two fellows that had hung on all those years, they had hung on faithfully to their trust and faith in God to enjoy what God had for them. Their day arrived. Their big day arrived. Because in the book of Joshua in chapter 1, Moses passes off the scene, and at last God says, it's about time you two fellows, Joshua and Caleb, that have been the only two faithful ones out of all that 603,550 men, it's time you really enjoyed on the earth, on the way to heaven, all I've got for you. But in order to enjoy it, you've got to do this one thing. Never be afraid to obey. Don't be afraid to obey. You see, by the end of yesterday morning session, you might have agreed with with much of what we've discussed. You remember the fact that you used to live in fear, but you're no longer afraid because you've got Christ in and he's taken the fright out. You might have been afraid to begin, but you've made your mind up that you want to begin. You may even have said a little prayer that second morning of a study, Lord, I want to begin. And yet yesterday morning you have to admit to yourself, for as much as you keep saying you want to begin, you were afraid to go in. And it may have been that yesterday as you left the meeting you said to yourself, I don't want to just begin, I want to go in. I don't want to be afraid to move into the future, move into the adventure, move into the problems, move into the difficulties. And God take the consequences, it's his job to keep me from falling and present me faultless before the Father with exceeding joy. Well, that's great. But you see, you've got to learn not to be afraid to obey as you go in. Because you'll find that success in the Christian experience will come from obedience. Will come from obedience. Because God knows exactly what he wants to do with your life, where you're going, what you're going to meet against. In fact, he knows today's problems before they hit you. And he's already got the answer of how to overcome the difficulties that you see, provided you just fall in line and learn to do what you're told. And don't be afraid. Now in Joshua chapter 1, the Lord uttered some basic promises to him that he'd already given to Moses, and Moses never used them. You see, remember this, it does tell us in the Epistle of Peter in the New Testament that he's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises you can become a partaker of the divine nature. You can become a person that could enjoy the very dynamic life of Christ within you through the promises that God gives to you. You might, he says, you might, which means there's a condition there that you might not. And the whole thing is the obedience of faith, not being afraid to do what you're told. And the promises become real. Now look at some of these promises. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. I'm not giving you any more problems, any more difficulties, any more promises, any less promises than I ever gave to Moses. The only thing is he never used them. Now it's your turn. But it's up to you whether you enjoy all that I'm offering you as I offered it to Moses. And there's a great statement just as he's about to begin to go in. He says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and have a good courage. Joshua, be strong. Be brave. And that. 7, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Be strong, courageous, to observe, to do, obey, obey. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid. Your kids is one of the most fascinating studies in the Word of God to see the amount of time heaven has to keep screaming to the faithful to stop being afraid. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What self-advantage you that he likes to be very wise and test you to see if what you see is what you are. Because you take that half sponge, 603,550, you know that as soon as it crosses the Red Sea, you bang your thumb. Boy, you never heard a Jesus pop festival like the one they had on the banks of the Red Sea on the other side. It takes nearly the whole of the 15th chapter of Exodus to record the song. What a testimony! Man, today if they stood up with their guitars and sang it, my God, my Savior, my salvation, my strength, he defeated that every means, you know. Boy, it would be hot diggity dog. Everybody would think, wow, what a meeting. Tremendous. What rejoicing. Look at Amos. You have to become a Christian right away, just hearing the song. And sometimes I wonder if it is song that makes some Christians today. They're not in your eyes. Take the guitars away from some of the kids and there's nothing left, you know. Take away the chorus book in your fellowship at home, there's nothing left. Because it's not an inward light stemming from the obedience of faith. It's froth and bubble. And what a tremendous song we sang. And then it says, and Moses led the children of Israel into the wilderness under the instructions of God. And they'd only gone 3 days when they hit their first problem. That was their attitude. It didn't take much to stop the sound. Just a cup of water. And it was God that led them to a place of death. Because they wanted to see what they found and what they were. Why didn't they, when they saw they had their first major problem as they advanced into the adventure, why didn't they stop and say, how did they get here to the face of this problem? Came through the Red Sea. What's the Red Sea made of? Get away. No chance, it's wet stuff. Water. And how did you get through that? Oh, no, God, did you? Didn't you help? No. No, I mean, I tried. You know, but every handful I threw on the sand, it sank through the sand and back in the water. So I couldn't do nothing about it myself. I was too weak. Oh, so how did you get through? God did it. Was he big enough? How did you do it? Split the sea. He'd be very good with water. Oh, he was very good with water. Just split down the middle, you know, and drive it with a wee wind so that you don't even get your feet wet. Very good. And what is it you need today? A cup of water. How did they make them stop and think, goodness me, they could divide the sea and take care of salty water. Sure, you can produce a cup of fresh stuff. Here's a big chance to keep the sand going. Here's a big chance to turn around and buy things here. Thank you very much. You could do that, do this. Amen. And wait for the flood. But they didn't. You see, as soon as they had a problem, they immediately high-tailed it to their morning repeat sessions again. Like the Pharisees. And it just spoiled it. Absolutely spoiled it. And you, those of you who are really determined to step out, I'll tell you this, God's going to test your obedience when you leave this place. In fact, before you leave this, some of you might be tested today to see if what you're saying your own secret prayer in your heart about going on and being with the Lord and becoming a real Christian instead of a fanny, you might find that today is going to give you one of the biggest major problems in your life in this place to see if you're prepared to obey today. And that's what says today. Well, you can't have it here. What's the use of letting you go back home? You just end up the same again. So they're out of luck. And when the problems are out, you know, but he's going to have to test your obedience. Test you. Take you to a difficulty. And then God's going to wait to see what you're going to do in the face of that difficulty. Are you really going to trust it? Are you going to do it yourself? Or are you going to do the old thing again? Just chicken off. Joshua was all excited to go in. But you know what he said? I like to see that it's the same as it was 40 years ago when I went in. I mean, the giant might have grown another 3 feet since I was there 40 years ago. And it might be more difficult. But I remember that when we sent in first by, 10 of them came back and ruined the whole thing. So I said, this time I'm going to send in 2. I'll just send 2. Because it was only 2 of us that brought back at least the ports of England. Send them 2, maybe 1 will come back and at least it'll be 50-50 chance. Okay. And he sent in 2 spies this time. And of course, when they were in the land, having to look around, the armies came for them. And so they went and hid in the house of a harlot. And in Joshua chapter 2, she'd hidden them up on the roof. And in verse 8, before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, this pagan harlot, this pagan woman, belonging to the nations that God was going to throw out for the sake of these people, she said unto the men, I know. It's not a funny idea of God, it's not an opinion, it's a fact. I know that the Lord has given you the land. Of course, one has had come around to that bad English here. What do you mean is God will give us the land? He hasn't given us. Because we're not in yet. There's only us two in here to death that will find you. That's why we're running hidden in your house. The army's all around the country looking for us, and you're scared, desperate. And that's why we're hiding, that's why we're afraid to go on and into this place. You mean he's half given? It's good you go to. Not half, that's as if it was already done. No, 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 well, far in the future this business of enjoying God, not now, not as if it was a comfort pass, but they were wrong. Look what she said. He has given you the land, and that your terror, your fear, is fallen upon us. You're scared too. Yes. And that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. You mean your whole nation is fainting because of us? Yes. Isn't that hilarious? Exactly, that hilarious. You're scared. Just us two. No, your whole nation. Huh? Why did you start getting scared? Verse 10. For we have heard, past tense, how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. When was that? 40 years ago. You're joking. No. 40 years ago, when you had God put the water, then what you do, I'm going to stop and you can go like a rabbit in a minute. That's the noise you hear in this country. It's not crickets, it's our meaning. And we've been scared for 40 years of you people. The thing has always baffled us. That's why you never bothered to come in and stop here. You see everything here. The enemy's already defeated. God, and when they got in there, the pagans knew all about God. You know, the fascination of God in the to places where there are Christian young people.
Yeah.
And they can be tempted to respect them, even in a meeting. And sit, chat, wiggle around, sit with each other's knees, lifting muscles. You ask what charge, you ask them about it. You ask them and you see, yeah? And ask what about it. You walk into the university, and remember going to Bradford University, to the invitation of one of the communist societies to speak on a rebellion against religion. And there were about 400 in the auditorium with an Indian headband, and a earring, and a bead, and the girls were dressed the same as well. And in there. And you know, there was a fellow at the door, and for as much as there was smoking and rotten language as I moved down the corridor, he came to me. He shouted, "Stand." After a time, he stood. And there was a respectful dignity, and manners were impeccable. And I'm often found it. But they have more respect for God. You ever wonder how you don't see outside of the faith and you don't want the faith that we have? And these men learned something, I think. And even high feeling it, that's what your church doing. You don't know what you're doing. Let's go get them. Let's get them. We can do it.
Just as they're all.
The minute they think they are strong enough, I remember with Joshua back in the history of my forefathers, the speech of his two sons. And there was a prince of a city called Shechem that lived their sister. And those two brothers that spoke freely. And this prince came over and said, "If you really love the girl, would you marry her?" And he said, "Well, the only condition will allow our girls to marry your men in that city is if you men get circumcised like we are." And so they did it. The power of an army of helpers. Two men went into the city, took their time about it, just around the whole city, and wiped out every man. Read it to yourself sometime. Genesis 34. Two men slaughtered every man in the whole city. Power of a line healing. On that minor operation. And Joshua said, "I remember this, you know.
If you don't mind me, God, I don't want any sort of, you know, question your wisdom. But that's exactly what he did. And he says to God, in effect, I think I know a little bit better than you that we need all the strength we've got. We need every inch of our fibers ready for the task to get in there and be a success. And God says, yes, I know, and I've got to knock that out of you. The only way you'll be a successful Christian is as you obey, by faith, in me. Stop being afraid of what you think will be the situation. Just do as you're told. Just do as you're told. And you know, you have to do it, and he's sacrificed all the males and the whole army of Israel was lying in the pit, waiting to heal. And all those days, they were at their weakest. They were like dead men. It would only have taken a handful of Canaanites to come in and wipe the army out. And they knew every day they lay there, even though they see someone that's coming in this week, that if they ever survived those days, it would be because of God's power and their obedience, not because of their strength and capability of holding back the enemy. It would have to be a miracle. And this is the very thing God's trying to teach them. Obedience releases the miracle of the dynamic power of God to protect you in the face of all the difficulties. And some of you are going to find that there's weaknesses in your life. You're going to find that there's going to be tremendous weaknesses in your life that make you so vulnerable to the enemy. The Apostle Paul found that. He found there was an occasion when he said, you people all know perfectly well the weakness I have. Man, he said it was like a thorn in my flesh. It was so evident, this weakness. And I knew I would have been such a better Christian, in my estimation of things, if God would just take it away from me. If he just get rid of this difficulty, if he just get rid of this weakness, I'd be so much better a Christian. And some of you are sitting there saying, the reason I can't really go in God and obey you is I see all the weaknesses I've got. And if you just keep going away, I'd be a strong Christian. You know, when Paul used the word thorn in the flesh, there are two words for thorn in the Bible. There's one that you get in the sort of rose bushes, or even the thorn that went to the top of the crown of thorns in the Lord's crown when he was crucified. But there's another word that means a stake. The kind of thing you hammer in the ground to tie up a stake with. And that was the word Paul used. He said, you know, I had a weakness, and it was like a stake. Right in here and out there. I mean, can you imagine a man standing talking about the greatness and the power of God with this thing sticking into his chest and out his back? My God is great. And Paul kept thinking, oh God, I'd be a much better preacher and testimony if that wasn't there. People are about to look at this great big thing sticking through me and think, what's this passion? Did you see his weakness? A man over here. He came out of the front and he was behind him. And Paul said, I prayed three times. Oh, God, take it away. And God says, no. Paul, you're more used to me with that sticking out the front and back than you are in the book of me. Because, you see, those weaknesses keep reminding you to stop being afraid to obey. In spite of your weakness, stop being afraid and pursue your soul, and it will all be well, because it says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Some of you know you're pretty weak, but that's great, because that's just when God can really use you. You'll have to do it before. He reduced them to weakness. He'll reduce you to weakness. And you'll see the only way to get success is to abandon yourself in obedience to Jesus Christ and step out to do what he wants you to do. And you'll have a great time. And don't think he's going to ask you to do big, difficult things. He's very gracious. He's very understanding. He knows just how much you can say. And you'll find that he'll test your obedience in a simple fashion. If you look in Joshua chapter 5, and verse 13, and it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, here he is. At last the men are on their feet. He's not afraid to begin. He's not afraid to go in. He's not afraid to obey. He's already said it. We are going to do what God tells us to do. We've already done it. We've had those rotten days lying in our tent waiting to be healed of that operation. arms all around the top saying, you'll never enjoy this bath. And some of you are sitting there this morning and you know perfectly well that if you said this morning, I'm not going to be afraid to obey, there's a big thing in your life, a big Jericho, and it's waving its fist at you this morning and says, do you think you could be different? Not as long as that's there. Use that a Jericho. Something in your life that you know is the biggest, strongest fortress of defiance to you going on with Christ. It's the thing that's crippling you. And stops you from being a successful Christian. It waves its fist at you this morning as you've listened. And it's saying to you, if you think for 1 minute you're going to start obeying and get past me, you've had it, you're not going to get past me. You'll never enjoy the Christian life. You're just going to be a right off to the other. You'll hang around for 40 years and never enjoy it. Joshua's facing this big thing. God, how are we going to get around that? Well, let's do our best. And as he was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. He suddenly saw a man standing between Jericho and him and his army with a sword in his hand. Isn't that funny? One man coming out against the army. And Joshua went unto him, brave, not afraid to face the problem. And he said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversary? Hey, you, whose side are you on? Jericho or ours? He was a surprise. It was the Lord. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Joshua, me. Between your big difficulties of enjoying the Christian life and yourself, I am. I'm right here. If you face that problem, I'm right here. Between you and the problem. Now get this right away. And you're not going to advance in that city till I know if what you are is what you say you are. You've already told all that army. You'll obey me. You're not going to be afraid to obey and advance into the difficulty. Do you mind if I find out if you tell me the truth? You see, it's at this point, Joshua, you've got to learn, I haven't come to take sides. I've come to take over. I have come to be the master. And you know, kids, that's the one name for Jesus Christ that has been omitted in these days. We know him as Savior, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Everlasting Father, Jesus, Christ, Law, Peace, One Way. Very few ever say that. Because it means he's an absolute boss if he's the master. Some of you need a master, and that's why you never use the name he isn't. And he stood there facing Joshua, all ready for the fight with Joshua, with his big army behind him. And the Lord says, it's me. Come to take over. You're going to do what I tell you? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? God, you say, I do it. I'm ready to obey. You hear that, army? I'm ready to obey. I've told him. I'm not going to be afraid to obey anymore. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot. Joshua's already waiting for the first command, ready to obey. The Lord says to him, Joshua, you ready? Yes. Take your shoes off. Take your shoes off. Shoes? Yes, take your shoes off. Army, 2 paces to the rear. Quick, pass. 1, 2. No, do another dozen. I want this private. I've set him away. I don't want him to hear this conversation, Lord, but what's my shoes got to do with conquering Jericho? Just take your shoes off, Joshua. Oh, but come on, be sensible. You don't go into a nap back on your beard. I don't see any sense in this. I thought you said you were ready to obey. Well, I am. Oh, that's different. off and fling him on his stand. You're going to think I'm bleepy this morning.
Don't be afraid to obey. Take your shoes off.
You see, kids, we keep thinking that if we give in to God, we give in to the rulership of Jesus Christ, he's going to ask us to do something phenomenal. It's some tremendous sacrifice of obedience. You might just say to somebody this morning, sing a good shelf, huh? Because I think that this is evangelism and reaching my world. I thought you were going to ask me that we have to go to Africa. That's the Amazon, be a missionary. No, I just wonder if you care to obey enough to let you clean your bookshelf up. He might just turn around and say to somebody, throw that record away. What's that record got to do with spirituality? Nothing. That's why I'm asking you to go away. Are you going to be afraid to obey? This is the crash, kid. Throw your record away. Don't. Let me choose the best music for it. Let's choose something wholesome, without double meaning. You might be all ready to say, yes, I'm going to step into reality. You should just throw that thing away. That friendship you've got coming, throw away. Just trust me. Here's some of you this morning, that's the crunch. You're going to have to give up a friend, maybe even a girlfriend. Because God knows it's the worst thing you got. Stands between you and enjoying everything God's got for you. Going to be? That's what he's waiting for. Obedience. I'm ready anytime, Justin. I'm ready to take you right through Jericho. I'm ready to collapse the wall. I'm ready to give you victory. You'll just learn to do it yourself. All I've ever asked of myself. And Moses, after 40 years of a failure, saw a bush burning. And he thought, how come that thing's enjoying more adventure than me? I wonder what its secret is. And he came up to the burning bush, wondering what its power was. He suddenly found the power was God in the bush, and God said, morning, Moses. Oh, it's you. I thought you'd been dead the last 40 years. No, I've been waiting on you. Getting furious enough and desperate enough to want to be real enough to be my man. Well, I'm fed up being out here looking at sheep. I'm ready to do anything. You are? Yeah. Good, take your shoes off. And it was exactly the same. Just take your shoes off. Moses, you oh, what did I do? Now I've done it. Stick to the cleat. God says, no. Obedience is a process. I'm going to have the right to come to you every day, kids, and say, take your shoes off or take something else off or put something else away. You ready for it? Because he'd no sooner got Moses with his shoes off, and Moses thought that entitled him to everything. And God says, what's that you got in your hand? No, it's just a bit of stick. What do you do with it? Well, I lean on it sometimes. Sometimes I clobber sheep with it, you know, and stick. God says, then throw it away. Look, I can't send you into Pharaoh if you're not going to learn to do what you're told. Throw it away. Kids, this is it. Don't be afraid to obey. And some of you, the reason you haven't gone forward and on and through your problems is not because of the big difficulties in your life. You know there are little things God has said to you in the past since you got converted. Let it go. Throw it away. Take them off. Put it out. And you've never learned to do what you're told in that area, and that's why you haven't gone on. This is where we begin. We haven't seen Joshua get victory yet, because he's having to learn not to be afraid to do what he's told. I'm glad he took his shoes off. Have you taken yours off yet? Let's pray. Father, we can't even begin to imagine the adventure you have stored up in your heart for some fellow or some girl here that knows you as their God and your son as their Savior. And yet all you're waiting for
is those little things that you've asked them to do in the past that haven't yet been done. Father, encourage them by your Spirit this morning to learn not to be afraid to do as they're told, so that you can begin to show them how great you can be, and for thy name's